Mornings, Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio with me, as he is every Wednesday night. Mike Fouché.
You.
From the Daily Line. Find it at dailyline.net. Of course, Aldercast, which is the podcast, comes out Fridays here at WGN+.
Yeah, we had an amazing interview of State Senator Sam McCann this last week, who's a Central Illinois State Senator, a Republican, who voted for the budget. And man, he says some really tough things.
Oh, find it. You can find it at WGN Plus here on the WGN radio site. All right, Mike, let's talk about Springfield this week. This was supposed to be the week. Last week, the can was kicked down the road, and for a week at least. And Speaker Madigan said that today would be the day that they would vote on an override. Yesterday, late in the afternoon, he said
in the evening.
He said, you know, we got some more meetings to do. Table that.
Yeah, that was a bummer for me because I was on my way to Springfield at the moment when they announced that. I was on the train, so I had to hang out for the night and then come back this morning. And there were a lot of other people like that, too. I don't know who it is, but I keep hearing a story about at least one member of the House who broke his vacation in California and flew back. A couple of people keep saying, yeah, there's some guy. I'm like, well, you know, I got to figure out who that is. But so definitely, you know, it was an inconvenience for a lot of people.
Why did they not do the vote today?
Basically, the long and the short of it is that Mike Madigan doesn't have enough votes in order to pass an override in the House. And they need 71 votes. Really, I think the most I heard that they could get to was 67. There's Democrats that don't want to vote for it. And there are, you know, Republicans don't want to vote for it. And the problem is, and really had an amazing quote from Representative Sam Yingling last night, who is from up by Round Lake, Grays Lake area, and he's a Democrat. And he said, look, you know, there has been a ton of money, millions spent by the Illinois Policy Institute in order to weaponize the name SB1. So if anybody votes for SB1, the immediate thinking in the suburbs like his up by Grays Lake or elsewhere in the state.
It becomes a campaign issue.
It becomes a campaign issue. You're talking about it being a Chicago bailout. And so regardless of all the things that are in it, it just becomes a huge, huge weight for most Republicans. So what's interesting is that, okay, we've been talking about SB1 all this time. Well, last time when the Senate last met, when they had their special meeting a few weeks ago, they passed a bill and sent it back to the House, what we're calling an understudy, which basically has all the same stuff as SB1, which is HB 61 or 3163, HB 3163. And that one basically is just ready and waiting for the House to pick up and then do whatever it is that they want to do in order to have another bill that can, you know, do any negotiations or any changes in order to get.
So if they can't get the vote, then they just reintroduce a new bill and start from scratch.
And that's waiting. It's in the hopper and it's waiting
for
somebody to
start negotiating. But let me ask you, Mike, I mean, at a certain point, what needs to change in SB1 to get the support of Democrats and Republicans that you mentioned that aren't in support of it now?
The first thing that needs to change is that it can't be called SB1 anymore. I mean, which is really bogus and stupid, but this is really the way that people are thinking. The second thing that needs to happen likely is that there's going to be some sort of education mandate relief. The lead Republican Senate negotiator, Senator Jason Barrickman, has been really, really pushing for schools to not have to do all different kinds of mandated things like spending on special education, you know, spending on all different kinds of class kind of things. And then the other thing that everyone, all the Republicans really seem to want is to get rid of the Chicago pension payment, not the huge block grant, but this big $250 million pension payment. And whether that is taken out of this and done as a separate measure, you know, maybe that could pass as a separate measure.
You see that happening, though? Because this is
I don't know.
All of this argument is around that.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, to be perfectly honest, I think that in a lot of ways, there's a lot of goofy, weird stuff about how things are in Springfield. And I think that people would be willing to vote on it if it was a separate thing and they could stand or die on it, you know? And so then the third is this whole idea of education vouchers.
And this is what we've been hearing about in the last couple of days. The idea that behind closed doors, one of the issues that's on the table, and we hinted to this a couple weeks back, is that there's a tax credit for people who would send their kids to private schools.
Right.
They would get essentially a tax credit from the state, which amounts to public funding.
Right. And, you know, so there's this is still very much up in the air. So you can't really say this is what it is that they're talking about specifically, but they've talked about it being for a 4-year period and it would be sunsetted. They've talked about it being capped at the amount of money. The one talk is $50 million a year, another $75 million a year, another is $100 million a year. So if you're the first group of people in order to get in, you know, it runs out of money at some point. There's no more money for that particular tax credit. So, you know, who knows? I think that, you know, really, 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 that there is beginning to be some serious desperation in the air. I mean, what's amazing is for a lot of these smaller school districts around the state
that have started and
that have started a few weeks ago. There are these school districts that have like, you know, 1,200 kids from K through 12. Just wrap your brain around that in Southern Illinois, and they can't borrow. You know, they don't have enough money in order to really get them through October.
Then there was a deadline that was thrown out by Speaker Madigan saying the end of, I think it was the 29th or something.
28th, Tuesday.
Monday. Are they going to adhere to that deadline, or are we doing budget politics where deadlines don't matter?
No, it matters because statutorily you have to be able to take action on a veto override by a certain number of days.
So he's got a week to do the veto override. Right.
No, it's not a week. It's
or whenever,
Monday.
Like 6 days from
now. Yeah, it's Monday. And so they're... You know, they met for 6 hours last night. They're supposed to, the leaders, the caucus leaders, the House. Tomorrow in Chicago. And so, you know, I'm going to bet that they're probably going to meet again through the weekend and they're going to forge some kind of a deal. And what we'll see is that SB1 will be dead and then they'll pick up this understudy bill. And
let's take a quick break so we can stay on time. And I don't want to talk to you. I mean, if you could do a service to me and to the listeners, to the pros and cons of which has been a tremendous fight at the national education level when it comes to school vouchers and private funding. Right. I lose understanding of that. But I want to get just sort of a simple what's the pro and what's the con. We come back from
as
break.
A service to you.
As a I service to that. Me. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate Mike Fouché from the Daily Line. Stay with us. Mike Fouché in studio tonight on The Download. We're talking about school funding now. And I also want to talk about the Justice Department, the consent decree, and the police and Mayor Emanuel.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of time. But when we're talking about tax credits to private schools.
Right.
What do we mean?
Well, the tax credits go to the individuals to send their kids to private schools.
So this has been an argument in education for years. But it's this idea that whether or not we should be using taxpayer money to subsidize students going to private schools.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is that what you're doing is you're no longer making people who send their kids to private schools also have to pay for the people whose kids are going to public schools. So there's two different ways of looking at it. The advantage, people say, on the pro voucher side is that you're helping to support schools that probably have higher quality. People can choose where it is that they want to send their schools. There's more flexibility. You can go to different places. And so you have a thriving marketplace of different schools, right? And then on the people who are against vouchers, what you're saying is that, well, in order to have a strong education system, you have to have a lot of people that are paying into a pool. And it's almost like an insurance pool. Mm-hmm. And when you start withdrawing that money from the system, then the whole education system begins to collapse. And that there's a certain point at which you no longer have enough money for a public school system that it can be sustainable. And that amount of money, you know, it's debatable.
And this is exactly something that we're seeing when we say private schools. I have in my mind private schools. I think of schools in Chicago, of course.
Right.
But we're really talking about Catholic schools.
We're really talking about, well, Catholic schools.
Or other religious schools.
Yeah. We're talking about,
Because I was surprised to hear the Cardinal's name thrown about in these private
Cardinal
meetings.
Cardinal Cipich has been personally lobbying for this with Governor Rauner and others. But, and you know, what's interesting is that this really isn't necessarily a party line issue. I actually spent a lot of time talking on the phone with former Republican State Representative Roger Eddy, who was also a school superintendent downstate, and now he's the president of the Illinois School Board Association. And Roger Eddy, you know, was telling me, look, you know, there's a lot of Republicans that are not crazy about the idea of vouchers because they're concerned that their school districts are going to have trouble. And that if somebody wants to be able to pay for private school, that should be an extra amount of money that they're willing to fork over.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I don't want to simplify this, but it seems like that's the way the world works. If you here's the taxpayers' schools that are provided. If you want to send your kids to something that's more specialized or possibly a better school, it's right. going to cost you money.
Right. I mean, you could say, well, you know, the government will provide you a road to drive on, but if you want to take a helicopter, you got to pay for all that other helicopter stuff.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, I think that that's a valid argument.
Well, it just seems to be the argument that's played out, and I'm willing to listen to the idea that, you know. Because I wonder what falls under the word private, because you have religious schools, just
right.
always been here in the Chicago area, in the state of right. Illinois. Do charter schools fall into that category? Do
no.
No, so these are because private schools.
Because charter schools
like
have a charter with the public school.
So this is
system.
Mainly really about religious schools.
For the most part.
And the higher end
and
schools
the smaller,
that are private.
Yeah. Small number of places, you know, like Royce Moore and Latin School and places like that.
Why do people on the side of school choice, I mean, what's their thought? I mean, does it come down to the ugly side where it's just about, hey, I don't want my kids to go to a public school because, you know, the school's run down, it's a neighborhood school, and I just feel
part
like
of it,
all the stereotypes that go along
it,
with
I think people,
public schools?
I think people have a problem with that. You know, I have people in my family who send their children to Catholic school because they really value the Catholic education and they want to have that particular kind of education for their kids. Mm-hmm. And the only way to really get it is by sending them to school. But I think the argument from a lot of people that are in the pro-voucher side is, again, look, you know, you are able to create this marketplace of different schools where people can go, and you give them an ability to go somewhere else that is not mandated for them. And sometimes what it is that's mandated for them isn't enough,
yeah.
Or can't do what it is that you want.
All right. I want to make a real quick transition because this story is a huge one and we don't have a lot of time. So we'll have to, we promise we'll get into it when we get back after Labor Day. But the consent decree argument, the Chicago Police Department and the Justice Department, the mayor's office, this has become a soap yeah. opera drama.
Well, there's two things going on with this. On the one hand, there's the city is supposed to be negotiating a memorandum of agreement with the Justice Department about how the city is going to be reforming the police department.
This was after we saw the big dog
this
and pony
was all
show.
Done
in January.
This
right,
was all
right.
agreed in January. Well, at the same time, the mayor has been publicly, Mayor Emanuel has been publicly yelling and screaming at U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, you know, saying what a jerk you are, you don't know anything about immigration and all these other things. And Sessions has been doing the same towards Emanuel. So are these people that are actually negotiating an
these
MOA?
Guys,
I mean, you know,
right.
And clearly it doesn't seem
no,
like they
not.
Actually are.
But this plays a little bit into the thought that Mayor Emanuel doesn't want a consent decree, doesn't want the Justice Department. It was great show to be able to get on front of the podium and
right.
say we're going to change the way it's done.
Right.
But
and he doesn't want
he doesn't
any
want
kind
it.
Of agreement. And so there is a private group of citizens, some from Black Lives Matter, some from the Urban League, and a bunch of other places, a group from University of Chicago, who have sued the city, and they say that there's a pattern and practice of bad police practices in the city. They've sued the city demanding a consent decree. Now, this has been done before. Actually, in Oakland, there was a private group that sued the city of Oakland and forced the city to have a consent decree on that. So the city on Monday then put out their motion to dismiss this, saying, you know, you guys are ridiculous. You know, we've got reform in hand already. You know, so it's going to go to court.
Fascinating to watch. Yeah. I mean, this is the beginning of what could be a big, big
years,
story.
Years yeah. long.
Mike Fouché from the Daily Line joins us every Wednesday night here. You can check out the Aldercast and WGN Plus. It comes out every Friday. Check out the one that just came out on Friday. Good stuff.
Yeah, great to be here.
Mike, great to see you, buddy.
Thanks, man.